Practice Wednesday at Halas Hall. One game left in week 12. You can listen to it tonight on The Score. Baltimore hosts Houston. They kick off at 6:45. In hockey, the Blackhawks are back at home tonight. They've got the Ducks at the United Center. Hawks have won four of their last six games. And in the NBA, Nico Mirotic made his return to Bulls practice today for the first time since being punched by Bobby Portis last month. And the Memphis Grizzlies fired their head coach, David Fizdale. Scoreboard update brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in the North Aurora Auto Mall. And join 670 The Score Sunday for a live pregame broadcast with Hub Arkish, Dan Pompey, and Patrick Manley from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Shoeless Joe's Alehouse located at 1480 West Lake Street in Addison. Check out the broadcast, win score prizes, and stick around for the Bears postgame show at 3 with Hub, Olin Krutz, and James Big Cat Williams. I'm Kevin Zipak, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the number one ranked sports station in Chicago, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff, afternoons on The Score.
And now the wild bean is in place. Mohamed Sanu in the gun with Coleman to his left. Sanu juggled it, now going to throw it. Tee it up for Julio Jones. Julio's there, it is caught! Touchdown, Atlanta! Sanu! Oh, my goodness! Oh, here goes the dance!
Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
A lot of dancing across the NFL. All kinds of fun end zone celebrations. I think it's awesome.
Or sideline celebrations.
They should have relaxed the rule a long time ago, because why not? Time to go around the league a little bit with all of the National Football League activity, including the Bears, with Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly, who is on Twitter at Eric_Edholm and is on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at Grossinger.com. Let's start with the Bears, Eric. It's clear that Philadelphia is a better team than the Bears. However, Philadelphia didn't play all that well, and the Bears still should be expected to play better than that. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think heading into that game Sunday, it wasn't any kind of realistic thing that the Bears could, you know, go in there and give them a little, a little bit of a tough game. But, I mean, I thought most people felt like they could at least hang with him for a little and sort of be not that far off. If we're going to say that, you know, Mitchell Trubisky is kind of where Carson Wentz was last year, if we're going to say that the pieces are here in Chicago where this team can be better and make that kind of a turnaround next year, it should look a lot better than what it did for most of that game. So, yeah, the offensive lulls and eventually the defensive breakdowns, you just sort of watch that game and you said, all right, let's put those thoughts to the side for a minute, because it doesn't seem to be the case. It just wasn't a good effort, I don't think.
What is fair to expect from Jimmy Garoppolo, assuming that he plays next weekend?
Yeah, it's so weird, right? I mean, they make the trade for the guy, send a second-round pick. They say he's not going to start right away, and barring, you know, other than an injury in the final minute or 90 seconds or so to C.J. Yeah. Beathard yesterday, he doesn't even get on the field, and he may not have even been in line to start for Sunday here at Soldier Field. But, assuming that this leg injury is more serious, and I haven't checked in the last hour or so, but I don't think we have an update on that yet.
It didn't look good, that's for sure.
Yeah, right. I mean, it could have been a leg bruise. It could have been something worse. We don't know. But, the expectations are like one or two ticks higher than they were before, because Jimmy comes in there, throws a few passes, gets a touchdown, and he's a folk hero. And, you know, 49ers players were upset because fans were cheering the fact that Beathard was hurt, but I think they were also sort of excited to see Garoppolo. I don't know what to say, because their pass protection is so bad. And yet, obviously, the Bears' pass rush is a little bit, limited in terms of not having Floyd and everything. I just think that, I think the feeling there is that he's still grasping the offense and still grasping the protection schemes that would keep him alive in a perfect world.
What is going on in the AFC West? Because apparently nothing good. It looked to start the year like the Chiefs were going to be one of those teams, and they've really devolved. I think there's a certain...
Chargers are going to win that division.
A certain rookie running back that's getting a quick education about the way the NFL can treat you physically, and especially after teams start to care about you more than they otherwise would. And all of the messiness between the Raiders and Broncos and that ugliness, that's not a fun division right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's insane. And we had you know, two coordinators fired in that game too. You know, the Broncos fired their offensive coordinator. The Raiders fired their defensive coordinator. One used to coach for the other team. Paxton Lynch gets benched. I mean, it was just messiness out there.
Yeah.
But to the first point you were making, we could have a situation where the Kansas City Chiefs start out 5-0. The L.A. Chargers start out the season 0-4. And the Chargers actually could win that division. They hold the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Chiefs right now, and they're just sitting there a game back. It's unbelievable. You know, the Chiefs probably hit their low point, you know, either this week or last week. I mean, they've just been, you know, haven't had any offense going. And the Chargers now are all of a sudden on an incredible roll. That Thanksgiving performance was, you know, I mean, frankly, I didn't necessarily see them going in there and doing what they did to Dallas, but, you know, that's two big wins in a row. Had they stolen one against Jacksonville or the Patriots or anybody else, they'd be up in the NFC West right now. That's the incredible thing. They could be 0-4 to hosting a playoff game at that little tiny soccer stadium they have.
Yeah, they're going to win that division, Eric. Could they? Are they in any position to make any sort of a run?
Absolutely. In fact, if you look at it, I mean, Jacksonville, look, their defense is great. They've got a run game. But, you know, how many playoff games is Blake Bortles winning? I keep coming back to that.
Oh.
You know, the Tennessee Titans are underwhelming if they happen to win the division or get in. The Bills have had their share of issues. Any other team in contention, the AFC, not named Pittsburgh or New England, you just go, okay, whatever. But the Chargers have playmakers on offense. They have Phillip Rivers, Hall of Fame quarterback, I believe, and they have a pass rush. I mean, those are the elements that get you into the playoffs, and then those are the elements that take you somewhere once you get there. So, absolutely, this could be a team that nearly lost to the Giants to go 0-5, and now all of a sudden they could be in the playoffs and giving somebody some real trouble.
This segment is brought to you by Office Depot Office Max. You've had a big year, so treat yourself to great deals on tech and furniture at Office Depot Office Max. You deserve it. Office Depot Office Max, taking care of business. When I see an NFC North that's got Minnesota in complete command, Green Bay in absolute free fall, though I think they thought they could steal one there, Detroit is the crime for the Lions. If they had a viable running back, if they just had with some kind of size, somebody who they could give the ball 15, 16 times a game and get 70 yards out of consistently, it amazes me, Eric, that at a time where I'm of the belief that you can find a reasonable facsimile of an NFL running back anywhere, anytime, why haven't they?
Yeah, it's funny because on the one hand, they have these guys that they like in these kind of specialized roles. I mean, Amir Abdullah can make a play here and there.
And Riddick is another one of these little guys, you know.
Right. Riddick can catch passes, and, you know, he actually looked okay a couple times running the football, but they never want to give it to him more than 5 or 6 times a game, it seems. So I'm with you, you know, and even the great white hope, Zach Zenner. I mean, a couple years ago, he had a few games where everyone go, oh, my gosh, a white running back who's actually pretty good. He barely gets into the game either. So part of it, I think, is scheme. Part of it is just their unwillingness to sort of build the offensive game plan around it. But part of it is talent. You're right. I mean, I think they do need somebody. And yet, as you point out, we're in this era where Kareem Hunt, third-round pick, can be a guy who breaks out early. Other guys, lower-round picks, undrafted players even, can have spectacular seasons or be productive in this league. So, you know, if we start making mock drafts and all that sort of thing, yeah, I'm going to be tempted to give them a running back, but that doesn't feel like what they would organizationally be bent on doing. So I don't know. It's a great question about their team right now.
Eric, the Packers are 5-6 after losing a tough one last night. They get the Bucks, the Browns, the Panthers, the Vikings, and the Lions. I don't know when Rodgers is scheduled to come back. He was throwing last night, looked very good throwing. Is there any chance for them?
I think they'd have to win the next two, and then they'd have that discussion. Obviously, you know, you can beat Tampa Bay at home, and I think you said Cleveland was after that.
Yeah.
So then I believe, and I have to double-check, but I think you could start the clock on him coming back like week 15 or 16 or something like that. So, you know, realistically, he's probably not going to return. The fact that he's out there throwing 54-yard bombs before the game, maybe just showing everybody, hey, I'm a fast healer, you know, I want to get back and do this. I'm ready to go if you need me. Does that tempt them? Absolutely. but they've got to have some sort of mathematical, realistic shot to do it. I mean, heck, the Bears aren't even out of the playoffs yet. I mean, technically, mathematically,
yes, they are.
They could be, right, exactly. So, you know, every team above them obviously is still in it. So is it realistic to keep your fingers crossed if you're a Packers fan and hope he comes back? Not really, but could it? Well, stranger things have happened. We saw, you know, we saw 2013. We saw what happened that year.
What'd you think of the hit, by the way, and him being driven into the ground the way he was?
Yeah, it was one of those plays that, you know, when I watched it full speed, you're talking about the Anthony Barr hit.
When yes.
Yeah. When I watched it the first time, I guess I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. And maybe it's our nature just to slow these things down and watch replays and different angles and try to determine. That's what the league does. Did it feel like he may have taken an extra step or two and then kind of put a little extra shoulder into driving him into the turf? Maybe. But then again, it's, you know, sometimes your first view is your best view. Sometimes it's your gut feeling when the play actually happens. Sometimes you do need that extra perspective. I don't know. I'm kind of two minds from it. I heard what both coaches said about it. I heard what the league said about it. I didn't think it was horribly egregious, but I didn't think it was a – you know, the cleanest play of all time either.
You heard the highlight coming out regarding Julio Jones, 253 yards receiving. Julio Jones now with three games with at least 250 yards, 300 against the Panthers last year, 259 against the Packers 3 years ago. No other player in the history of the league more than one game with 250 yards receiving. What's the significance of that, and what does it mean for his position historically at a time where we're rapidly reevaluating career receiving stats in general?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you know, I can remember even 5-6 years ago, the Hall of Fame voters having a real hard time getting receivers in. We've had a little run now with, you know, Art Monk and Michael Irvin and guys like that, but, you know, Andre Reed, et cetera. But it seemed like for a long time, we didn't know what Hall of Fame receiver numbers look like. Well, all I know is that through the first 90 games of his career, Julio Jones has done more statistically than any other receiver through their first 90 games. I mean, that says a lot right there. You know, he's in that, you know, Jerry Rice, Terrell Owens-like, Randy Moss-like category as far as statistics. But the numbers can be bloated. The fact that he has those games that are just insanely off the charts like he has to factor in. I mean, that has to be consideration. If he gets hurt and the second half of his career isn't nearly as prolific as the first, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be another Shannon Sharp or something like that, but or a Sterling Sharp, I should say. But who knows? I mean, he's still got some work to do, obviously, but he's got to be considered one of the best. Even he had one TD coming in, two yesterday. I don't think anyone's worried about his production anymore this year. He's still on pace for like 1,500 yards.
Dan mentioned the Raiders-Broncos fight. What's going to be the outcome of that?
I think it's interesting because had we not had that little, you know, tussle between, was it A.J. Green and Jalen Ramsey a few weeks back, and the league has always kind of said, okay, if they get ejected, we kind of consider that a suspension. It's sort of in lieu of a suspension, you know. We're not going to suspend them a game after that because they've already missed time. They've already lost that game. But I kind of wonder now if maybe the league hadn't been sort of put everybody on notice a little bit with that first round of fights that happened, and now this occurs. Look, I mean, it's the second time Tlaib had kind of torn that chain off his neck, and, you know, and yet Crabtree looked like he had maybe hit Chris Harris the play before, the other defensive back for the Broncos. So there was some ugliness brewing there. It wasn't like this thing just sort of flared up out of nowhere. This is like, you know, a grease fire that had been in the works for a few plays. So maybe a few years, really. So I suspect there might be something a little heavier than what we saw with Ramsey and Green.
Are you hearing anything outside of the regular Chicago beat reporter circles from your position to Pro Football Weekly that there is even the possibility of any change of significance being in the air at Halas Hall, or is it still just people talking?
As far as the coaching staff is concerned, or beyond
anything, coordinator level, whether it's Dowell Loggins, whether it's John Fox, or is it just going to be a 5-week limp to the finish before the inevitable occurs?
Yeah, I kind of wonder. I mean, I obviously, you know, as I've said to you guys, unless I have something pretty firm, I'm going to be a little bit, you know, kind of loath to say something. But yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anything to that degree. I guess the question is, if you do think John Fox is in his final run here, will something happen before the end of the year? Or will they sort of let him, you know, decide to go out and resign on his own or get fired immediately after the season? I don't know what that would be. I don't know if there would be huge changes beyond that. My suspicion is that Ryan Pace is in good standing and that his status is not necessarily connected to that of the coaching staff. So I suspect that if the coaching staff is relieved of its duties, maybe minus a few exceptions, it'll not impact what happens with the front office directly.
If the real argument here is that you're holding back Mitch Trubisky somehow, is there someone on staff who could somehow further Trubisky's development, given that there's a bad offensive line and no weapons around him? Is there some point to be served here?
Yeah, I don't know about that. And that would probably be, you know, based on the recommendation of the front office to the next coach they hire. Hey, you know, if you're intent on bringing in a complete new staff or something like that, that's on you. However, we happen to like Vic Fangio, or I mean, I'm just guessing. You know, Dave Ragone has done really good work with Mitch. We like him, and keeping him would be good continuity for the next year. Could conversations like that happen? Absolutely. They happen every year. Now, that said, there are some people who get head coaching jobs. They swab the decks completely, bring in their own guys, and they go on from there. Other people may want to retain one or two coaches from the previous staff. So, you know, whether that's one of the big names like Fangio, when it's one of the smaller positional coaches, I don't know. But that'll be an interesting element to see if that could help Trubisky or any other continuity.
Eric, thanks as always. We'll talk again next week, man.
All right, fellas. See you.
Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly, plugged in around the NFL. I know you've got your usual sort of bizarro scribblings in front of you. You know, for a pretty well organized mind, you are you're a psychopath. I mean, you make Murph look sane with some of that stuff. And I don't know how you know where anything is. Seriously, have you ever taken like a picture of that and posted it about what your actual notepad looks like?
Zawoski did once. He said something along the lines of, here's a look into the madness. Something like
He's not wrong, and members of madness. Yeah. But that's sort of like beautiful mind stuff you got going on there. If you're able to find a thought, or is it just the act of writing it down somewhere that commits it to memory that you don't need to actually read it?
I think it's the act of writing it down.
Okay.
But my daughter insists that that when she asks me for something that I can find it. I don't know that to be entirely accurate.
It's like the old Norm Weiner XRT office where it's just he knew where everything was, but nobody else would have any idea where anything was.
Feels like that.
You have the virtual version going on. You're yellow pad. Hey.
I don't even normally use the yellow pad, but that's what I found yesterday.
Hold it up to the camera. See if anybody can see. I don't know if anybody's seen the Barry Rosner. Well,
there's scribbling. That's from.
See, that looks relatively normal.
That's because that's from a football game.
Okay, because that is way more normal than your usual scribbles.
Yeah, the normal stuff looks like that.
Yeah, but more busier than that. And
yeah,
that's
usually
stained,
busier.
Is that jelly? What is that?
Oh, which one?
I was wondering.
Coffee. There's coffee on there.
Okay. I don't know if the stains mean something or they form some sort of pattern that helps you.
That's a 5-on-3. That's diagramming the 5-on-3 in the Alabama
like
basketball
blood.
Game.
Are you sure? You were like opening a vein or suffering from like Bears related stigmata? Oh, here it goes again. Yep.
I will not watch
Adam
this.
Adam Shaheen missed a block and now I've got the wounds of Christ again. I am so sick of this. Mom, Dad's got the wounds of Christ again. Ugh, this Bears team. Talk about a cross to bear. But this is ridiculous. It's the Bernstein and Goff Show with Barry Rosner in today. Happy Cyber Bears Monday. 312-644-6767. 5 o'clock, Rich Campbell will tell us all about what that little argument was that everybody overheard. I'm sure the detective work is going on, and he will have it nailed down which Bears players were verbally scrapping today at Hallis Hall. That's coming up on The Score.
Mully and Handley, mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
I think what you saw against Philadelphia was not a talent gap. It was a talent chasm. There's no jumping that one.
No, it's the Grand Canyon, and you need to.
It was worse than the Grand Canyon. There are parts of it that maybe you could jump with a motorcycle, maybe.
Mully and Handley, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. One of the biggest questions heading into Week 12 in the NFL was just how legit are the L.A. Rams? Fair question. 7-3 looks great on paper, and so does having the league's best offense and doing it all with the youngest coach in the NFL and a first-round draft pick that looked like a bust only last year adds to an amazing turnaround. But there were still doubters, especially after they got manhandled by the Vikings. And especially since that loss only fueled the narrative that the Rams inhale cupcakes and choke on the meat and potatoes. So when the Saints and their 8-game winning streak rolled into the Coliseum yesterday, Sean McVay faced the biggest prove-it moment of his young career. Win that game and the Rams are as legit as the record says they are. Lose it and then suddenly they're a fraudulent 7-4. Well, you know what you can do with all that talk that the Rams aren't who we think they are. You can ram it. I'm Jim Rome.
When this world seems complicated...
Did you hear that?
Confusing.
If the world ends, Trump will be a one-term president.
And out of control.
Join us while I'm still allowed to broadcast this show.
Stephen Colbert's got you covered.
Did someone say delusional egomaniac?
The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. The smart choice.
It's funny because nothing matters.
Weeknights on CBS or stream it live or on demand.
How am I doing, America?
How you doing there? Beautiful car, isn't she?
Yeah, what's the price?
Yeah, 93 late nights at the office. Well, plus tax, of course.
93 late nights? Oh, my budget's more like 78.
Oh, let me talk to the boss, see what I can do.
While other insurance companies just see a car, we see something you've worked really hard for. So why not give it the protection it deserves?
Well, now, he's never done this before, but he says I could do 90 late nights and some free air fresheners.
Deal.
State Farm. Call an agent today.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
I'm not waving the pom-poms for Mitchell Trubisky. I'm waving the pom-poms for us as a fandom. You finally have some hope that a guy that is taking the ball from center, when he's not fumbling it, there's something there.
Yeah, man. He has the things you can't coach. Now he just needs to be put in the hands of coaches who can teach him the correct way to learn these things.
Bernstein and Goff. Afternoons 1 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
At 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
What's the record? 12-30? I said their record. I'm not talking about John Fox. Ryan Pace has been there for all of it.
Yes, he has.
It's him too. Bad decision to keep the guy. He cost you a game. You can't roll him out again for an end of game kick.
Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all-Chicago sports talk station, covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins. Middays on The Score.
The scripted plays, like the first 15, 20 plays, were exquisite. They were beautiful. It's the kind of stuff we've been asking for all year long. Why were they so good, finally? And then why did everything fall apart pretty much after those first couple of drives? Because they did not move the ball well after they got off the script.
Spiegel and Parkins. 9 a.m. to 1. On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
I mean, these games, there's only 16 of them. You've only won 3. I mean, you can't lose a game because of a kicker. God, that was inexcusable. And it wasn't even close. I don't know what other word but choke. I mean, he didn't even come near it.
Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
I'm not waving the pom-poms for Mitch Trubisky. I'm waving the pom-poms for us as a fandom. You finally have some hope that a guy that is taking the ball from center, when he's not fumbling it, there's something there.
Yeah, man. He has the things you can't coach. Now he just needs to be put in the hands of coaches who can teach him the correct way to learn these things.
Bernstein and Goff. Afternoons 1 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
At 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Need legal advice from a reputable attorney? Send questions you want answered to cbschicago.com/legal advice and look online for free Legal Fridays with Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates. That's cbschicago.com.
Sundays on CBS, they face the nation.
Vice President Mike Pence starts off our broadcast. Did any advisor or anybody in the Trump campaign have any contact with the Russians who are trying to meddle in the election? Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi, what do you tell Democrats who want a new direction?
We sat down with Defense Secretary James Mattis.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people away.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
John, that is a very fair question.
I have my own opinions. You can have your own opinion.
But I want to know your opinions. You're the President of the United States.
Face the Nation with John Dickerson, Sundays on CBS.
Do you have a case of the Mondays?
You know what it is? I just need a me day.
Then Kevin Can Wait on CBS is just what the doctor ordered.
I'm about to show you something that I haven't shown to anyone.
A paycheck?
Get your weekly dose of Kevin James.
I thought everybody would enjoy a little crudite.
It's crudite.
French language police are here. Take me away.
TV's number one comedy.
I just heard the information. You got to give a man a second to celebrate.
Kevin Can Wait, CBS Monday, or stream it live or on demand.
Score.com/events.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Shotgun again from McCown. Forte to his right. Tomlinson motions right to left. Four-man rush. McCown looks over the middle, flushed out of the pocket, rolls to his right at the 40, directing traffic. Heaves one down the sideline. Robbie Anderson wide open. He's got it. That's a jet touchdown. That was a broken play. That was all schoolyard between Josh McCown and Robbie Anderson.
Quit yelling.
Well, he's just very happy for Barry's guy. He wants good things for McCown.
Yeah, he's saying it wrong, but he's new to New York, so I get it. He hasn't figured it out.
Are New Yorkers better at pronouncing names? Do they just have a different way of mispronouncing names of their sports stars?
It just sounds different.
You still got a legitimate backup in McCown.
But you don't
McCown!
Have Whitey after Whitey.
McCown! It's not McCown!
McGowan.
No! And Dobrinsky.
Yeah, we had that one today. If you're just joining us, we had somebody giving us Dobrinsky.
Dobrinsky.
Is it Zabrinsky?
No, Dobrinsky.
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 Like Dobinsky, but with an R.
Oh, man.
Well, that was from pregame yesterday.
Yeah, it's, as I mentioned before, there is an increasing amount of ennui that is settling in to Bears fandom, where you get to that point, and we've all felt this. How many years have I covered the Bears? Starting in 95. So this is, what, my 23rd? Season being a professional Bears observer.
So fortunately, I have no recollection really of the Wanstead era.
Well, the Wanstead era, that's when the no-shows started to increase, and that's when it all, that was one year where he said, well, we just ran out of games. Like, no, Dave, there's a finite number of games. Because they won a couple at the end when teams stopped trying, and they ended up with 7-9, and his response, we just ran out of games.
Weren't they playing 16 then?
I told him that.
And his response was,
oh, yeah, but this is the best we played all year, Bernsey. You've seen it. I said, yes, but you're out of games now. The games stop after 16. And it was really because other teams just didn't have anything left. They were trying to get coaches fired, et cetera. But, boy, when those, for whatever reason, the no-shows have mattered to the McCaskies. The no-shows have always been a powerful, whether it's an actual economic reason or whether it's a symbolic reason, they've mattered. When fans don't want to go, and they are going to want to stop going right about now.
I think both of the they've already started stopping going. I think both matter. I think the symbolism and the economics matter to them. I think they're equal.
And obviously those tickets are paid for, but then you're talking about people who aren't paying for everything else, and you start to see what the television broadcast has to do to make it look like a full house. I guess there was a caller yesterday to the postgame show that we want to hear who is sharing his story as a season ticket holder, and maybe it's something that's going to ring true for others. Is I want you to hear it. There are a couple of people that mentioned this to me that it was. I want to say he's a paramedic, and he was telling his story about what it gets to be like for a season ticket holder at this time. I just wonder, like you said, who goes, who says, yeah, Bears, 49ers, and we got tickets. This is when. Like the person at work getting the tickets is who? It's like the guy that delivered your lunch or something. By the way, thanks for the Jimmy John's here. You want a couple of Bears tickets, right?
No, could I have a dollar instead?
I would prefer to have a dollar or Confederate money if you have it. It's just worth probably more.
I had seasons in the 80s, but I mean there was no reason not to go. I mean that was really fun. We saw the best of all time. Mm-hmm. I mean that was spectacular. And we were young, and we were drunk, and it was fun. But I don't know why today, with HD TV and that nice big chair and your own bathroom. And
it's 8 hours. By the time all is said and done, between the traffic, the getting to your seat, and then the whole standing in line for bathrooms with other people thing, I'm kind of over.
I've said this to you before. As a media person, the entire experience from the time you leave the house in the morning to the time you get home is pure misery covering the NFL. It is just pure misery and almost senseless. Almost entirely senseless.
Why are you bothering?
They don't want you there. They know they don't need you, and really they just prefer you not even bother because you're just kind of in the way.
But you go, and they give you a seat, and there's a name there, and then you're sitting next to Grobstein.
No, I'm not.
That's what's going to happen now.
But he did. Oh, I'm gonna regret this term. He did get me in the bathroom once.
What? There's special
standing.
Like, you need a recommendation before a panel or something. You have to be sponsored. It's like getting into a country club.
We were in the washroom.
I vouch for him. Know this guy.
No, we were in the washroom, and he went into some Philadelphia thing from 1979. And yes, I know the Brian Bashnegel play and
the Mike Hartenstein hit on Jaworski.
And I'm, you know,
the greatest hits of all time.
I saw the game.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm done, and I've washed my hands, and I'm going back to my seat. That's it. Mm-hmm. And he will chase you all the way down the hall and all the way back.
Because he thinks he's having a conversation with you.
Jaja Binks.
Right. It's because he's.
It's not a conversation.
It's not a
conversation.
Technically, by actual, like, proper social cues and all that.
Wouldn't the other person have to be speaking back?
Responding or looking.
Yeah. But, no, not doing any of those things.
But if he's got like missile guidance tone on you, take the shot, Mav. That constitutes a conversation that you're not allowed to unilaterally end.
Sometimes it begins with something with a non sequitur that you can't possibly respond to. So the only option, at least for me, is to just walk out of the room
or pretend you're having a stroke. But then the medics come up there and all that. That's all right. Update, and then you got to hear this call.
Time now for the Bears Daily Update. Head to Rio Republica in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic with Apple Vacations and your favorite Chicago Bears players. Visit applevacations.com/bears for more info. Hello, I'm Zach Zaidman. Here's the latest from Halas Hall.
You know, I don't do this as a job. I do this as a profession. So I don't really worry about, quote, job security and time and all that. I mean, you know, it's obvious we're in a performance-based business. I get that part. And, you know, I'll just try to control what I can control.
Bears coach John Fox continuing to face questions about his future with the team following a 31-3 loss in Philadelphia, dropping the Bears to 3-8 this season.
Short-term wise, obviously, we have a 24, 48-hour, however you want to put onto it, agreement with the team anyway. So they're watching the Philadelphia game. They'll learn from it, and then they wipe that out, and we'll start preparing for San Francisco. I think, big picture wise, we talked about, there's two numbers. There's 3-13 and there's 8-8. And that all starts on Wednesday when we start preparing. You get this out of your system and then, get ready for San Francisco.
This is the Bears Daily Update with Bears News every weekday on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Scoreboard Update.
From the Northwestern Basketball Update Studio, I'm Kevin Zipak. Coach Collins and the Cats back at Allstate Arena this Friday when they tip off Big Ten play against the Illinois Fighting Illini at 8 p.m. To purchase tickets, visit NUSports.com. Bears have lost four games in a row, 3-8 now on the season, but John Fox says his players are engaged. They're not giving up.
I just see how they work. I've been through a few of these buildings. I think guys are working to get better. Now we just have to prove it.
Bears are off tomorrow. They return to practice Wednesday to prep for the 49ers. Monday Night Football this evening features the Texans and Ravens. You can hear that here on 670 The Score at 6:45. At the United Center tonight, the Blackhawks host the Anaheim Ducks. First meeting of the year between these two teams. And the Bulls practice today. Nico Mirotich was there, active for the first time since his altercation with Bobby Portis last month. And the Memphis Grizzlies fired their head coach, David Fizdale, earlier today. This scoreboard update brought to you by Bowlero. Discover the area's coolest place to bowl, party, and play at Bowlero's four stunning Chicagoland locations. Roll in and check out their amazing 5-pound behemoth burger and their full lineup of signature cocktails. Visit them now at bowlero.com. And home isn't just a place, it's a feeling. The feeling that you're safe to enjoy the things that matter most. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com. ADT, home, safe, home. I'm Kevin Zipak, and you are listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the number one ranked sports station in Chicago. 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
You should always be listening to the postgame show on The Score, Lively Times Win or Lose with Hub Arkish, Big Cat Williams, and Olin Krutz. And they're going to be at Shoeless Joe's out in the western suburbs, I believe, this week, not the one in Rosemont. So it's fun when they're around. You get to hang out, watch them, watch a game. You learn a lot. And I usually the moment the game ends, I'm sifting through stuff and I try to write something. I just try to do a first blush thing and throw that information up there. So I don't often get to hear what happens. So I rely on people saying, hey, you might want to check this out. And by the way, yes, there's Shoeless Joe's Ale House in Addison, 1480 West Lake Street. That's the pre and the post this week. But this was a call that came in shortly after, I think, 5 o'clock yesterday.
All right, let's get to another caller here. We've got Patrick on the Northwest side. Pat, thanks for dialing us up. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I listened to the show real quick on what you guys were just talking about here. It's like Donald Rumsfeld said, we don't know what we don't know. And that's what I'm afraid of with the McCaskies. They don't even know what they don't know. And they should just hire a guy to run the football operations, period, make all the decisions. But here's what Mr. McCaskey needs to hear, at least in my opinion. It's been 7 years since the Bears made the playoffs. When me and my brother, season ticket holders, talked about that, you know what he said to me? That's $16,000. That's what I spent in tickets. $16,000. I can't give the tickets away. This is year five where I can't give them away. I give them to the USO. I gave tickets to a charity. There's a charity tonight for prostate cancer research. And I gave them the tickets, and I laughed, and I told the girl, you're going to have to give them to the person with the worst mustache because nobody wants them. They're becoming irrelevant. And I'm saying is, I'm done. If they don't, if I have to go through another year where I can't give you my tickets, hey, man, you want four Bear tickets? No, thanks. I mean, I got to say, I'll give you four Bear tickets. I'll drive you. I'll pick you up, and I'll buy all your beer because nobody wants to go. And there's a ticket holder who sits in a section. It's not just the money. It's you're there from 9 o'clock till you get home at 5, and you come home miserable because you just watch them get their ass kicked again, and you're tired of it. And these tickets have been in my family since the 40s. And the only thing that keeps me holding on is I tell my brother, hey, Jimmy, you'll be able to bring your grandson soon. He says, yeah, after I turn him on the Bears, when I'm old enough, they'll push me out of the wheelchair because I'm turning him on this losing organization. $16,000. I could have went to Tuskegee. I could have went to Hawaii on that money. And that's a lot of scoots. And go sit in the 400 section. You can't, it takes half a quarter to go to the washroom, another half a quarter to get a beer. The stadium empties out. You're standing there waiting to get out. A few years ago when they had to evacuate the stadium because of a storm, they had to get on the PA and say, hey, section 400, we're serious. We have to leave. And we're all laughing like, leave? We can't get out.
hope the guy the storm doesn't come because we're all doomed because we walked into a nightmare that the way they built that stadium. But as an organization, you just want to win. I just want to come home from the damn game and not feel miserable. And I keep looking at the money I'm spending. And I've been spending this money for a long time. And I don't want to do it anymore and be miserable. It's just, what's the point? And I'll tell this to George McCaskey. I know you want to win. I'm glad you want to win. But you know what? In my business, I'm a paramedic. You do your damn job. Do it. Get it done. My good intentions don't mean crap. Good intentions and $10 will get you an override. What you need to do is produce. And my feeling is, if they're not going to win soon, I'm done completely. I won't watch them. I'm done. They could win 16 games in a row for the next 10 years, and someone will have to tell me about it because I won't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Bears fan Patrick.
Wow.
That's real. That's real. And normally,
that's a guy who wants to love them.
Yes.
He wants to.
Yes. It's all he wants to have is the team meet him halfway. But it's like the all of the ordeals of Job trying to just watch a game. He talks about he can't use a bathroom. He can't buy a beer. Now, Bernstein, you're the guy that says don't pay the money. No one forces you to pay the money. See, I understand that when you game to game, that when tickets have been in your family, and this is coming from it. I grew up with Bears season tickets. My family had seats. We went every week. That's just what we did. And they were old seats. And then when they changed over, they redid the north end zone. Our seats moved to the north end zone. We went. I went to exhibition games. I went to games that didn't matter. We sat in sleeping bags. That's just what we did. And when my dad finally gave up the tickets when they did the PSLs in the new stadium, he asked me, he said, are you ever going to want these? And I said, not for a second. But there was some legitimate fan sentiment in there. I mean, I'm not cold to the idea of this, say, why do I do this? Why am I spending the thousands of dollars? Because we had the conversation. He said, look, we can still have these seats. Do I want to do? You know, do you want to do this? Is this something that you would hand down to your kids? And here I am. I haven't been to a game since I stopped covering the team because it was enough already, and it wasn't my idea of fun anymore to do that. And Mike's son has never been to a Bears game ever.
He hasn't missed anything.
you really want to go? You want to see that? He asked me, "Can we go to a Bears game?" I said, "I don't know if you want to."
Actually take him to one, and then he'll be done with it and never want to go
Dad,
again.
Now I get it. Now I understand. But
you know what he was saying about the Washington tornado day?
Yes.
I took a picture of it, and I have it in my phone, of what it looked like staring across at that top level. And those people, when they said it's time to evacuate, it took them the better part of a half hour to get out because of the log jam up there. They're coming from below and above. He wasn't kidding. There's no way to get out.
But you're right. I think you hit at the essence of it. All he wants to do is have something he can kind of like enough. And it's really, I don't really think it's about the expense, because either he's got that discretionary income or he doesn't, and apparently he does. And if he wants to go to Tuscany or go to Hawaii, he can. But it's a tough decision when it is something that has been in your family. You start to feel that responsibility. You start to feel...
Plus, those 8 Sundays are sort of built into your fall, and it's a big part of your life. At least it used to be.
They were for us, and we would go, and we would sit behind the same people, and that's... I sat behind a guy who literally chain-smoked. Lit one off the other. The whole time. The entire time, and he wore a little tiny knit cap, almost like a yarmulke, but it was like a knit hat, but it wasn't keeping his head warm. It was just on the back of his head. And he sat with this large, loud, foul-mouthed woman. He never said a word. The guy never said a word. But this woman
he knew better.
The woman next to him in a Schurz High School snap-up windbreaker. Always. You know, representing Schurz High School out there at Addison, Milwaukee. And She said it all. All he did was sit there and light one cigarette off of the other.
Never having it out completely, right?
Oh, never.
One to the other.
People use the term chain smoking, and members of the chain smokers, but if you've never actually seen it, that's when I learned what that was. Was that guy who would take the end of the one butt and start another, and it was just a constant supply.
We had last row north end zone in the old stadium, and probably my lasting memory from one of the last games that really mattered was the NFC Championship, when all we saw was Mike Richardson chasing Jerry Rice down the field.
I was in the north end zone.
And you remember how cold it was
that
day. I do.
Bear weather,
right? It was about 30 below wind chill. And we spent the second half.
I remember looking at my cousin. I said, I think we've reached the end of bear weather.
That was it. Yeah. That was it. What I remember most about that day is we spent the second half seeing how hard we could hit each other.
What? What do you mean?
Well, we were drunk.
And it was cold.
It was cold. The game was over. It was misery. And we just spent the second half punching each other, seeing how hard we can hit each other.
He's Barry Rosner, dredging up wonderful childhood memories in place of the ailing Jason Goff today. It is a Bears Monday, and at the top of the hour, Rich Campbell is going to have thoughts for us on football. This segment brought to you by Sprint, just in time for the holidays. Get a great deal on a Samsung device. Hurry into a Sprint store. Call 1-800-SPRINT-1 or visit sprint.com/deals. Works for me. Restrictions apply. You have the score.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, you're listening to the voice of the Chicago sports fan for over 25 years. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Brought to you by your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, home of the amazing.
We're getting the party started today.
Smile bigger.
I stopped my craziness 20 years ago.
That is not true.
Laugh harder.
I am ready to party.
Feel better.
I've been in an open marriage. I didn't know it was open.
Have more fun every day.
Hello! See, that's how you do it right here.
The Talk.
This is the best job in the world, man!
CBS Weekdays.
Deal 2.
Cyber Monday deals from Cameron Hughes are not like other retailers' deals, because other retailers just have warehouses full of inventory to meet all the demand and send whatever you want. Cameron doesn't, because all of the wines that he gets from the great wineries around the world are in limited supply. And he tries to let you know via Twitter when something is running low. All I can tell you is get in on this deal. I know recently they just ran out of the fabulous Lodi Zinfandel because people were buying it up by the case. There are other wines that are running into very low quantities now. The website will tell you what the limited quantities are, but you want to grab this. It's 30% off and free shipping on a case of wine and free gift bags. It takes care of everything. You get some wine to drink now. You get some wine to put in your cellar or on your rack for later. And you get some fabulous wine to give as gifts, all because of the Cyber Monday deal. 30% off and free shipping. And these wines are running low. Even the top of the line cabs that we're talking about, $150 bottle of wine coming from some of the best producers in Napa for only $30 or $35 and 30% off now and free shipping on a case and free gift bags. How do you get it? chwine.com. Enter code Dan. chwine.com. Code Dan. This offer is only available until midnight tonight. The wines are selling out fast, especially with this offer. So get in on this deal and get some fabulous wine from Cameron Hughes. chwine.com. Enter Dan.
When this world seems complicated.
Did you hear that?
Confusing.
If the world ends, Trump will be a one-term president.
And out of control.
Join us while I'm still allowed to broadcast this show.
Stephen Colbert's got you covered.
Did someone say delusional egomaniac?
The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. The smart choice.
It's funny because nothing matters.
Weeknights on CBS or stream it live or on demand.
How am I doing, America?
This holiday season, make the smart choice and switch to Sprint and get a new Samsung Galaxy S8 Active 50% off your lease. That's right, 50% off the GS8 Active, one of Samsung's hottest devices. Plus, with Galaxy Forever, you can upgrade to the latest Galaxy anytime after 12 lease payments. Visit your local Sprint store, sprint.com/holiday deals, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Requires 18-month lease and new line. $17.71 per month savings via credit applied within two bills. Early termination results in remaining balance due, subject to credit and $30 activation fee. Restrictions apply.
CBS Friday on Blue Bloods. For the Reagan family, fighting for justice.
We have a goal here, to put an end to blood on these streets.
Protecting the innocent.
We're just supposed to sit back and allow a young boy to get abused.
Not on my watch.
And keeping their city safe.
My job is to get a dangerous killer off the streets.
We're the ones on the front lines.
Is all in a day's work.
30,000 cops in the city. You never know when one's going to be watching you.
Blue Bloods, CBS Friday, or stream it live or on demand.
Call now and get the winner of Houston, Baltimore tonight. Absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. Guaranteed profits of 7 units tonight. Absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. That's 1-800.
Sundays on CBS, they face the nation.
Vice President Mike Pence starts off our broadcast. Did any advisor or anybody in the Trump campaign have any contact with the Russians who are trying to meddle in the election? Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi, what do you tell Democrats who want a new direction? We sat down with Defense Secretary James Mattis.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
John, that is a very fair question.
I have my own opinions. You can have your own opinion.
But I want to know your opinions. You're the President of the United States.
Face the Nation with John Dickerson, Sundays on CBS.
Oh, hi there. Al Dukes here. And like most Americans, I too have a podcast. It's called Al's Boring Podcast.
WFAN's morning show producer hosts his own show.
Pro athletes have been in all of the Olympic sports except for boxing and wrestling.
Okay.
I also thought we should send our pro wrestlers over there. We could have sent Sergeant Slaughter to fight the Iron Sheik back in the 80s.
The height of
that would have been great for the Olympics.
Al,
download and subscribe at thenewradio.com app.
It's so boring.
Al's Boring Podcast.
But I love it.
To qualified buyers, see dealer for details.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Every one of these guys is different, but I think, you know, what you're seeing this year is tremendous growth from guys like Wentz and Goff from year one to year two. And, you know, I think one common trait that all these players have, you know, throw Drew in there too, is they obviously have the physical skill set, but they also have the dedication, the drive, the work ethic to want to be great, to put in the time and the sacrifices to be great. And Mitch is no different. You know, he has to race his own race, and you know there's going to be ups and downs, but we're all confident where he's headed.
Frankly, I don't give a rip.
There you have it. The segment brought to you by Simply to Impress Holiday Cards. This year, make custom holiday photo cards at simplytoimpress.com. So many stylish designs to choose from. Get 25% off plus free shipping with promo code TRAFFIC at simplytoimpress.com. We got Rich Campbell coming up in just a bit. Grabbing a couple phone calls here real quick. Leo in Naperville, you're on The Score. What's up, Leo?
Hey, yeah, that call by Pat was just great, and it hits home to me personally, because it's like our group, we've had tickets for 15 years, and I've seen a decline of interest in going to the games, and I think individual teams' attendance has become a victim of the popularity of the league as a whole based on, like, fantasy sports, because people aren't necessarily so much interested in an individual team as more like following the league as a whole, and that can be better done at home when you have multiple players involved in fantasy teams. So you'd rather be at home interested in the people that you want to watch.
I don't think there's any question, and teams have tried to increase the amount of highlights of other games and scores of other games, but it's also increasing bandwidth for wireless and just making sure everybody's got all their action in front of them. But then if there's a drizzle, and this has been the problem with college games too, with college attendance, is that the slightest bit of inclement weather, kids feel they're not going to be able to text each other, so they can't have their phones out.
You're better off staying home and watching the Red Zone channel.
St. Charles, Joe, you're on WSCR.
Hey, you know what? Out of the four major sports, you know, basketball, baseball, hockey, and football.
I know what they are.
To go to a game and actually, like, watch it, it's horrible in football compared to the rest. Think about it. I mean, holy smokes, you know? Nobody knows what the heck's going on unless some guy catches a bomb somewhere like that.
Thank you, Joe. I've always said this. There's the worst sporting event to ever attend is a Super Bowl. You are in the world's largest television studio. The breaks are interminable, and you're not watching the commercials. You're just sitting there, and nothing is happening. And then they set up the halftime show, and then there's the halftime show, and they take down the halftime show, and you don't remember what actually happened in the first half of the football game. It's a TV product.
I don't remember the first half of the football game when I was in the Superdome for the Bears Super Bowl after the 85 season.
Were you punching somebody again?
No, because I was hammered. Well, the game was over.
Right.
They played the Super Bowl shuffle up on the big board as the Bears ran off the field.
Were you working?
No.
Oh, okay. You were there as a fan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to, you know that story. I went to New Orleans with no ticket, no place to stay, and until the day before I left, I had no way to get there.
Did you take a train?
I ended up getting a ticket on Ted Albrecht Charters. He had a charter service, or ran a travel agency or something like that.
A plane charter service?
Yeah, I guess.
Who got you a ticket?
I just found out that day that they had added a whole bunch of charters. I was going to drive down. I was going to that game. I was going to that game no matter what.
And you didn't have a place to stay.
No place to stay.
In
Friday,
that city.
Well, Friday I made a friend and stayed at Tulane.
Ah, how old were you?
I was just out of school.
Okay.
But
I was making sure you're not like Judge Roy Moore or something.
She was so unimpressed that she left on Saturday and went back to Baton Rouge.
Tulane's not in Baton Rouge.
No, that's where she lives. Oh, okay. She was from Baton Rouge.
Okay.
I said, can't you just stay till Monday morning? No, I don't think so.
Hey, but you got one night taken care of.
That was one night.
Right.
Well, then I slept on a floor the next two nights of a house.
Preservation Hall. Get that guy out of here already.
Jackson Square. I just took a spot next to all the other homeless people.
Ooh, I remember when the morning... We went out for brunch with the kids, and we're walking down across. We're crossing Bourbon Street, and there is a man just openly relieving himself in the middle of the street. And of course, my son was 7 at the time. Goes, look at that, Dad! I'm like, yes, you're in New Orleans. These things happen, and just they happen. So it's just deal with it.
It's New Orleans.
It's New Orleans. It's, no worries. Rich Campbell is going to break down not only the Bears game yesterday, but some odd occurrences at Halas Hall today, including a verbal skirmish apparently between Bears players in a hallway. We'll see if we know more, if he is digging in to find out what was going on. He will have his usual 5 o'clock Bears hit, chock full of information. So you're going to want to hear that. It's next on The Score.
This is the number one sports station in Chicago. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Sundays on CBS, they face the nation.
Vice President Mike Pence starts off our broadcast. Did any advisor or anybody in the Trump campaign have any contact with the Russians who are trying to meddle in the election?
Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi, what do you tell Democrats who want a new direction?
We sat down with Defense Secretary James Mattis.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
John, that is a very fair question.
I have my own opinions. You can have your own opinion.
But I want to know your opinion if you're the President of the United States.
Face the Nation with John Dickerson, Sundays on CBS.
And buy at riverfront.com.
Upgrade your sheets. It's enough you are sleeping on sandpaper compared to what you should be enjoying from Brooklinen and brooklinen.com. Upgrade your nightly routine, and you won't really appreciate it until these arrive and you get the chance to say, oh, that's what he was talking about. And they say, well, I don't know about thread count. I don't know about organic cotton. You don't have to. The whole point of Brooklinen was to take out the BS and make buying luxury sheets inexpensive and easy. And you can do that. Brooklinen.com has cut out all the markups and fees and manufacturing waste. And you get high-end design, versatile colors and patterns, and most importantly, exceptional savings. You have to try these. I love my Brooklinen sheets. You will love yours too when you try them. Brooklinen.com has this exclusive offer. You can shop Cyber Monday with Brooklinen's biggest and only sale of the year. Get up to 20% off everything site-wide, and you get a free gift with purchase. In fact, Brooklinen's so confident you'll love your new sheets, they're offering a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. So there's no reason not to give these sheets a try. It's Brooklinen's biggest and only sale of the year. It is the perfect time to stock up for yourself and for those on your list with what are sure to be your new favorite sheets. Brooklinen, these are the...
We're getting the...
party started today.
Smile bigger.
I stopped my craziness 20 years ago.
That is not true.
Laugh harder.
I am ready to party.
Feel better.
I've been in an open marriage. I didn't know it was open.
Have more fun every day.
Hello.
See, that's how you do it right here.
The talk.
This is the best job in the world, man.
CBS Weekdays.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let out your inner child at the Lexus December to Remember sales event with some of the best offers on our most versatile models.
Lease the 2017 RX 350 for $399 a month for 36 months with $1,999 due at signing. Experience amazing at your Chicago area and Northwest Indiana Lexus dealer. Call 1-800-USA-LEXUS for important lease offer and pricing details. Not all customers will qualify. Offer valid in the Lexus Central area only and ends November 30th, 2017.
Everyone knows how to sing. Pepe's Tacos are very good tacos, but Pepe's Mexican restaurants have a lot more going on than tacos. Enchiladas, tamales, flautas, carne asada, chili rellenos, mole, and much more.